This is Relevant in Rome, a weekly podcast from the Vatican with Relevant Radio Rome correspondent Ashley Nerona. Now here's the latest on Pope Francis and all that's happened in Rome this week.
Well, Ashley, what is the latest news on Pope Francis as he continues his historic week-long trip to Canada this morning?
Yes. Well, John, yesterday was a very special day because we celebrated in our church the feast of Saints Anne and Joachim, who are the patrons of all grandparents. And of course, just a few days before that, we celebrated World Grandparents Day that had been named as such by Pope Francis. And so yesterday, near Edmonton, Canada, there on the shores of Lac Sainte Anne, thousands of pilgrims gathered together and welcomed Pope Francis as he became part of their annual pilgrimage to that Lake of St. Anne. And indeed, the lake was named after the Mother of Mary, the grandmother of Jesus, and it was done so by a Quebecois Catholic missionary. She launched the pilgrimage way back at the end of the 19th century in order to celebrate this feast day on July 26th. And so yesterday, there at the lake, the Pope blessed the waters of the lake. He blessed, of course, all the faithful who were present, and he presided over a liturgy of the word. Now, he mentioned that the waters of the lake inspire one to imagine Jesus himself, who carried out so much of his ministry right there on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. And focusing on the readings that from the liturgy that were read from the book of Ezekiel, Pope Francis reiterated the crucial role that grandmothers have in transmitting what he called the living water of faith. He said that faith rarely comes from reading a book alone in a corner, but instead it spreads within families. He said it's transmitted in the language of mothers and in the sweetly lyrical accents of grandmothers. And he went on to thank all grandmothers for their precious role. And he reiterated his call on families to cherish their elders, and to really take care of the elderly. And he said, for those who have elderly people with them at their home, he said, you possess a treasure. And he urged everyone to guard this source of life within your homes. He said, take care of it. It's a precious legacy that's meant to be loved and cherished. And then on the World Day of Grandparents this past Sunday, he urged young people to stay in contact with their grandparents. He said, doing that is like a tree that takes strength from its roots and carries it forward in flowers and fruits. And he also made a shout out to religious elderly. He called men and women religious elderly grandparents of the consecrated life. So he urged people to find them, to seek them out, to remember their wisdom and remember all of the history they can share and the life experience they can share. And he even said and urged all grandparents and the elderly on these special days to be artisans of the revolution of tenderness. John, back to you.
And Ashley, it appears that the Holy Father has been extremely well received there in Canada, over 50,000 on hand in the largest stadium in Canada to see the Holy Father. Some of the images and the photos are very moving. You see some of these indigenous peoples with their headdress watching every word coming out of the Holy Father and this massive crowd there in the stadium.
Yes, indeed. There have been huge crowds. And of course, we've seen Pope Francis at different times in a wheelchair, standing. It seems as though he's just kind of going with whatever he can handle at the moment, but certainly seems to be continuing, seems to have the stamina to continue through at this moment, John.
The Holy Father has been speaking about the elderly and grandparents for quite some time during his Wednesday audiences, which of course are halted here in the month of July. So it's kind of a logical continuation of that message that he was able to share with the Canadian people.
Yes, in fact. And of course, this message has certainly been one of healing. He's been talking about this healing process, and he looked to the future and what the future could possibly mean for Canada. And he said that he believed that it's also the wish of all grandparents and the grandparents of Jesus, Saints Joachim and Anne, to bless this journey together, John.
Ashley, what can we expect the rest of the trip?
So the Holy Father still has a quite a busy agenda for these next few days. And he is going to be meeting, of course, with various groups. He's meeting with Catholic groups. He's meeting with some priests and religious. He's also meeting with Indigenous peoples. So, for example, when he first arrived, the very first thing he did was met with Indigenous peoples there inside of the airline hangar. And so we're going to see more meetings like that over these next few days, as well as celebrations of the Holy Mass.
And we continue to pray for the Holy Father's trip to Canada. Can you give us an update on the Italian government in wake of the resignation of the Prime Minister? What is going on there?
Yes. Yes, it's been quite a few days, John. So last week, our Prime Minister Mario Draghi, who was the former European Central Bank chief, he had been brought into Italy really to be a technocrat overseeing a coalition government. But he submitted his resignation last week, and that was after a movement called the Five Star Party. They failed to back a 26 billion euro cost of living package that he was supporting, because they said that their proposals and their concerns were being ignored. So it was anticipated, though, that Draghi's resignation was sort of a ceremonial one. It wouldn't be accepted by the president. And indeed, President Sergio Mattarella did refuse to accept Draghi's resignation. But then, of course, there had to be a twist here in the Italian political soap opera. And at that point, two other political parties then joined the Five Star Party in abstaining from a crucial vote regarding Draghi's national unity government. So then this led to Draghi resigning again and submitting his resignation to President Mattarella, who this time did accept it. So as a result of that, a few days ago, President Mattarella dissolved our parliament. Draghi will stay on in the capacity of a caretaker until the country can actually get to the polls. And so Italy will hold a snap election on the 25th of September. And from there, we will see what happens. It's anyone's guess at this point, but we are just beseeching Our Lady to guide the country of Italy, John.
What does it mean to dissolve a parliament?
Right. Well, the problem is that because this is a coalition, the various party, we could not get enough of the party members who are involved to agree in order to move the parliament forward. So it was a complete stalemate and standstill. So it is no more. And hopefully then from this new election, we will be able to have more of a majority come through. And if that is the case, then one party will be in power and at least things can actually happen and move forward. That's the hope, John. We shall see.
We absolutely will. And on a lighter note, I understand ballet fans in Milan will get to watch a real life marriage proposal.
Oh my gosh, John. Okay. So imagine this. So imagine sitting in the seats, enjoying a night out of the ballet, a beautiful performance, and of course of the romantic ballet Romeo and Juliet. And then when Romeo and Juliet come out for their bows, the primo ballerino of La Scala Opera House, who played Romeo, suddenly got down on one knee and asked a very stunned Nicoletta, who plays Juliet, to marry him. And at this very moment, the orchestra began playing very loud drums. The crowd began cheering and screaming. And the great news is she said yes. So the ring was hidden there on the stage by Nicoletta's brother. He's one of the technicians in the production of the show. And so at the end of the show, he ran out and grabbed the ring and gave it to Romeo. Nicoletta said that she knew nothing about the plan, even though everyone else in the company did. They all were part of planning what was going on. She said she had no idea what was going on, of course, when her groom-to-be got down on his knee. And soon the two of them were in tears when she realized that he was proposing and she said yes. In the crowd, this cheering crowd, were also the parents of both of the dancers. Romeo, his name is Timothy, he had flown them in especially for this occasion. And when he talked about the experience, Romeo, Timothy said that it felt like time absolutely slowed down. It felt like everything was in slow motion as he knelt until he finally saw his Juliet's eyes looking at him, and then he knew. And of course, for those who come to visit Italy, a very favorite spot to go to, John, is to Juliet's house in Verona. It's a 13th century building, and the Capulet's emblem is actually on the external facade. And when you go through the gate, my mom and I went and visited, when you go through the gate, there's this covered courtyard where people from around the world come and they leave their little love messages. They leave them on pieces of paper, they write them on the wall. And of course, doing that while looking up at the balcony there, that is the one that is recreating that would have been at Juliet's bedroom. So another site to put on the list of things to see in beautiful Italia.
Wow, you talk about a flair for the dramatic. What an incredible way to ask for marriage. I guess yes. Marriage is alive and well among the Italians.
Yes, and I'm so glad that we can say that, indeed.
For sure. Now, coming up this weekend on July 31st mm-hmm. is the Feast of St. Ignatius of Loyola. I know the Italians love to celebrate. How is St. Ignatius yeah. going to be celebrated this time around?
Yes, absolutely. Well, John, you know, actually this feast day brings to an end a one-year celebration that's going on since his feast last year, celebrating the 500-year anniversary of St. Ignatius' conversion. So one of the things that people will do, of course, on this feast day here in Rome is that they will go to visit the rooms of St. Ignatius. These are the very rooms that he lived and worked for almost 20 years when he was the first superior general of the Jesuits. So there in the rooms, you can visit his bedroom. You'll see his actual chair and desk. And there it's so tender because hanging above his desk is a beautiful painting of Our Lady of the Desk, who he would pray to for his work. And you'll see the plaque there that marks the very spot of his death. And you see other personal items like vestments which he wore, in his very shoes, these worn leather shoes. The first copy of the printing of the Ignatian exercises was there. It actually goes back to 1548, so it was printed during his lifetime. You can see his signature because there are letters there that he actually signed. And then you can stand and admire the painting of the Holy Family under which he celebrated the Holy Mass every day. And then, of course, the next visit is to the church itself for the grand finale, which is to visit the chapel of St. Ignatius and have the opportunity to pray there in front of his remains, which are in an urn there. And then every day at 5:30 p.m. at the church, they have a special sound and light show in honor of St. Ignatius. So imagine you sit in the pews of the church, and then when the show begins, there's this beautiful music and chant that's being played in the background, and they shine a spotlight on different gold statues and paintings and gorgeous elements and decor of the church. And as they do, they tell the story of the life of Saint Ignatius. And it's just a wonderful thing to behold. And actually, on his feast day, on the July 31st, John, I really want to ask you and Sarah and all of our listeners for a special prayer request, because you may remember that I shared with you that our Truth and Beauty Project, which is something that my husband John and I started here in Rome to set people's faith on fire. Well, the project that I shared with you is starting on the 31st of July. It's a special young adult immersion. So we have young adults coming from Australia, from the USA, from Canada, all converging on Rome for this week-long in-depth deep dive into the faith to set their faith on fire, to learn how to live their faith in today's world. So if you would just remember all of our participants that they're indeed, their faith will be set on fire with love for the Lord, John.
Relevant in Rome is your weekly connection to the Vatican. Listen to live reports from Rome with Ashley Narona every Wednesday morning at 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central on Morning Air. And listen right here next week to Relevant in Rome for the latest on Pope Francis and news from the Vatican.